Welcome to Couch Lock, the movie podcast. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is officially out, so you know we got to take a look at it. The first strikingly apparent upgrade to this movie for me was the animation and how they implemented it in different ways. And I feel like it's starting to, it kind of is doing what the first movie did and pushing the boundaries of what animation can really do. I was extremely engaged the entire time, and I did feel like it dragged in some moments, but I was able to sit there and watch because of how pretty the animation is, as well as I'm like 100% bought in on Miles as a character, and I'm just engaged because I want to see his story unfold and how it affects him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, a lot of what you're saying resonated with me as well. I loved that the story took those moments to really dig into, like we got a lot more of Gwen in this movie, and in a lot of ways it was her movie more than Miles's.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the different types of animation and the way that you could almost, like, pause this movie on any given frame, and it's almost its own beautiful piece of art, unique from the frame before it, even.
Absolutely. And they kind of, like, they, instead of using just the environments for backgrounds, they started using kind of like pastel paintings or the using like colors to describe the emotions going on in the scene. Or having a drawing show up behind them for a couple frames and then it's gone. And like you said, you could pause it at any point and there's something different happening.
Yeah, and it's just very intriguing and it keeps it exciting to watch. With that being said, I think there were moments where the story felt a little long-winded and kind of lost the pacing that the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that movie like really delivered like a solid like beginning, middle, and end, you know what I mean? Whereas this movie being a part one, it sets a lot of storyline up, but doesn't actually deliver on any conclusion yet. We're going to have to wait for the third installment of this trilogy to like really get that payoff for viewership. I think a lot of people, it's like hitting them really hard, me included. At first, I was like, oh, what the fuck? But the more I sit with it, the more I'm okay with how they left that cliffhanger ending with the to be continued. There's going to be a long, long wait till the next one.
Yeah,
though,
well,
so I'm going to feel it.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of appreciated how they ended it just with like one big crescendo. It was a crescendo of the story as well as like the music, I would say. It's like a big, they didn't have some sort of resolve and then be like, all right, we're going to the next thing. They kind of like, they're right. this is like a big bridge between these events and then the events of the next movie. So in that sense, I kind of can appreciate it because I think in hindsight it's going to be worth it. Especially, but I mean, again, I was ready to sit there for, I thought it was going to be like another hour and then it would be done.
Yeah.
So I am interested to see how they can pull off another full length movie with what they have left of it.
It did feel like they've got this super villain of Spot and they set him up and like there were a few scenes of him towards the end of the film that felt so dark and menacing and
like,
you can feel a real presence from his character, but they really kind of like choked us out on that. Like, I think that he is going to be a big enough story to give us another full length easily in Beyond the Spider-Verse. I think that's going to be, especially with Miguel O'Hara on top of this,
mm-hmm.
I think we've got like another full length easily under our belts.
Yeah, that's a very good point about the Spot, because he was definitely one of the most fun parts to watch about Across the Spider-Verse. And it's funny, he sort of does start off as the villain of the week, like Miles said, but mm-hmm. as the film goes on, he gets more rageful and more crazy and more power drunk, and he really turns into a very fun arch villain for Miles.
Oh, man, and as his voice starts to distort more and more into this super ominous, like, entity-sounding, like, demonic possession thing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's
and
that's
the animation gets more, like, scratchy and, like,
kind of looks like Slender Man. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to get more of that in Beyond the Spider-Verse. I think that's probably the character I'm looking forward to the most moving forward. We had quite a few new characters introduced in this movie, though. And that's really, I think, what the majority of the storytelling was in this sequel, was just these are the important players going into the final act of this trilogy.
Another great addition to this movie is Miguel O'Hara. I really loved watching him, and anytime he was in action, this like crazy synth would play, and it made his like animalistic movements feel just so crazy and visceral, and it really added to that intensity. But his character was really fun as this kind of crazy, dark, power hungry super Spider-Man. I thought that was that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where his character arc goes, just because he kind of reminds me of like Kylo Ren in a weird way, like kind of full of rage and like, okay, buddy, what's it's gonna be okay, like let's calm down. He's kind of like that, like assistant manager who's worked too many shifts and is just trying to keep the store together, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be okay. But like I also see an opportunity for him to have a very redeeming story arc, depending on how the future of his character moves.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah,
what I also enjoyed a lot about that character was Oscar Isaac. His voice acting was really cool, and I feel like it matched the character and his like intentions and his background super well. I don't know, I was kind of just sold on it. I think part of it is just how cool a suit is.
Oh man, and that and that fight early on in the movie against Vulture, where we get introduced to him, well, that was so cool. His suit is super awesome, his power set is super cool. I'm excited to see more of Miguel O'Hara. He's definitely not my favorite character that we've gotten out of this storyline, this franchise, but yeah, he's definitely a cool one to keep an eye on. With that all being said, though, our task now is to reward this movie a rating on a scale of 1 to 10. We have to give it the same rating, and it's going to be extra hard because we just watched Into the Spider-Verse and gave that a perfect 10 out of 10.
Yeah, we gave that a very solid 10 out of 10.
So,
with that in mind, I would probably land on an 8 for Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was going to say 8 as well, actually. Only because the pacing didn't hit for me quite as nicely as Into the Spider-Verse. Everything else was on par. It hit all of those other notes for me. The soundtrack was fantastic. Animation was great. Storytelling was good, except for those moments where I just wish it had been condensed down maybe a half hour shorter. Would have been fantastic for me.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said.
Right on. All right. Well, there you go. There you have it. Across the Spider-Verse, coming in at an 8 out of 10. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to check out more, you can follow us at Couchlock Pod. Please don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Until next time, keep it locked.